before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant.
The Old Testament passage that Lana just read for us is the passage for the sermon this morning. I invite us now to listen again for God's word as it comes in our gospel passage this week from Luke, as you see, chapter 13, beginning with the 10th verse. Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, Woman, you are set free from your ailment. When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured and not on the Sabbath. But the Lord answered him and said, You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day? When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the word of the Lord. Our passage in Jeremiah 1 this morning that Lana read for us just a minute ago is about, some call it the call, some call it the commissioning of Jeremiah to be a prophet for the Lord. It's really a technicality and doesn't make a lot of difference, the call or the commissioning of Jeremiah. And the Lord calls him into this really monumental prophecy. In a time of some of the greatest religious and political and social turmoil in the entire history of Israel. This is one of the most, in my opinion at least, one of the most dramatic passages that we have in the scriptures. It's unlike any of the other accounts of God's call to any of the other prophets. And that's because of, as you listened, you probably heard it, how strongly God imposes this call on Jeremiah to serve him. And imposes is not by any means too strong a word. It's extraordinary how direct and how unswerving God is with Jeremiah in this passage. God totally disregards Jeremiah's objections. They're very understandable. Everything about his fears and objections, his concerns, his reservations are understandable. But God just doesn't regard them. No prophet in the Bible, even Moses, when God called him on Mount Sinai at the burning bush to go back to Egypt, no prophet in the Bible that I know of is more thoroughly and relentlessly told by God how deep and permanent he's called to prophesy than Jeremiah is here in this passage. And that's one of the reasons it's considered one of the outstanding passages in the scriptures. Listen to it one more time. Jeremiah writes, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, even before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Know is a very personal, very intimate word there. It's a bond. It's a close bond. "And before you were born, I consecrated you." As you probably know, consecrated means that God set him apart for his holy purposes. And then it goes on, "I appointed you prophet to the nations." Now, if you notice, up to now, all the words are the Lord speaking to Jeremiah. And now Jeremiah gets a chance to speak. But what's notable is that this is the only time in the passage that Jeremiah speaks at all. Every other word before and after what Jeremiah says here is God speaking to Jeremiah. And God doesn't give Jeremiah any space here at all, as we might say. In this little brief sentence, it says, Jeremiah answers God, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." He's literally telling the truth here, probably. Scholars estimate many times that Jeremiah was about 18 years old when he got called. You guys better watch out, it's coming soon. That's all Jeremiah gets to say. Because then God speaks again and he never lets up. He says, "Do not say, I'm only a boy. For you shall go to whom I send you and you shall speak whatever I command you." But then, as so often, after all of that overpowering, imposing language from God, all those words, he's not done yet. Because God says to Jeremiah, "Do not be afraid, for I'm with you to deliver you." Every time in the scriptures that God sends someone to speak for him, he also promises to be with them, to be with us. And then finally, as you heard, the Lord speaks these haunting words to this, has to be this stunned young man that hasn't even begun to even be able to grasp what God's calling him to do. God says, "Today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." Now, obviously, this commissioning, this call of Jeremiah, like the calls of the other prophets in Israel, was unique, at least almost unique. Relatively few people in history are called or compelled to assume this kind of monumental responsibility. But as I say so many times, because I think it's so important, this is not just a story about an extraordinary life of one of God's servants that we are supposed to hear and admire. As always in the scriptures, if these words don't also somehow touch our lives and touch our experiences, then they fall short of speaking directly to us. And if that happens, we can listen to them without any impact on ourselves, without hearing any challenge in the words to us. So we're not Jeremiah. And most, if any of us, will not be called to follow Jesus Christ in a way that demands anything even approaching what God sent Jeremiah to do. Although we ought never say never. What's completely clear and striking here, though, is Jeremiah's first response to God. He says, "I'm only a boy." We do have something in common with Jeremiah here. "I'm only a boy. I don't know how to speak." We can substitute many words, many expressions that we would slip in there. "I'm inadequate, I'm unsure, I'm scared, I don't know enough, I don't know enough Bible to teach Sunday school. I don't have faith nearly as strong as whomever we would name, the next person we'd name. Or in our case, honestly, I'm too busy, I'm too tired, I'm not interested, I'm too confused by my doubts and my questions, I'm too whatever." We could fill in the blank forever. One of the most striking and obvious things in this passage is that God's call comes to Jeremiah when he's not the least bit ready. He's not willing, and it's totally unexpected. And in that, there is Jeremiah in every one of us, in you and in your pastor. But clearly, from what we see and hear in the scriptures over and over and over again, God just doesn't intend to let our inadequacies and our objections and our fears, as understandable and real as they are, God just doesn't intend to let those get in his way. I guess that's the good news of grace and what sounds like bad news to us, or it certainly sounds like a very daunting challenge to us. Many of us will recall, and some of us will vividly remember, the death of Archbishop Oscar Romero in El Salvador in 1977. At first, Romero, who became archbishop, was the government's favorite, so to speak, because they wanted him to be the head official in the Catholic Church. As one person put it, he was rather bland, he was not too exciting, and he dutifully kept to the party line in all the issues for the government. In other words, he was malleable. He wasn't a threat. He was the kind of church official that wouldn't cause any trouble, and he could easily be manipulated. 3 weeks after he was installed as archbishop, his good friend, Rutilio Grande, was brutally murdered by a government hit team. And Romero said, after that very night, I was converted. He became, as many of us remember, an outspoken critic of a corrupt regime. He became a passionate advocate for his people, the people who were horribly impoverished and being kept there. And he challenged the Catholic Church not to be complicit in that. And that made him almost immediately a threat. He became a marked man from that moment on. Before he died, just a couple of weeks before he died, he's been interviewed by a Mexican reporter, and he said, "My life has been threatened many times. I have to confess, though, that as a Christian, I do not believe in life without resurrection. And if they kill me, I will somehow rise again in the Salvadorian people." 2 weeks later, as he was saying the Mass, as he was consecrating the host, holding the body and blood of Christ in both hands, government operatives literally crashed into the sanctuary and gunned him down. Now, why would I tell the story of Archbishop Romero in this sermon? How does the story of the way that he answered God's call and the way that he followed in the way of Christ come in contact at all, with our story here? Stories like the life and death of Dietrich Bonhoeffer that we all know, or the Christians that are suffering in places in Africa this morning, stories like that, or, I mean, much more down to earth, the thousands and thousands and thousands of hardships and challenges that Christians have faced that are not on the level of martyrdom. But how do those have anything to do with us here as Christians and vice versa? Hear Jeremiah's words again. "Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak. I'm only a boy. I'm inadequate. Life's just mundane. It's just routine. But God won't accept that from him." God says to him, "Do not say that I'm only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid, for I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord." And then he says, "I have put my words in your mouth." I'm not sure how often we hear that. God has put his words in our mouths. My next line is not the line you'd expect. It's a big jump, but I hope in a minute you'll understand. This past Tuesday evening, the session approved our congregation's long-range plan that we've been working on for a year, for the ministries in our church going forward. And of course, now we really look forward to increasing its momentum and increasing the challenge to us and increasing some excitement and commitment to it. How can I possibly talk about the martyrdom of Archbishop Romero in one breath and the dramatic call of Jeremiah in the next breath, and then the long-range commitments of our congregation in the next breath after that? Because whether it's Jeremiah or whether it's Archbishop Romero or whether it's you or me, the Lord has always called, and he never stops calling, ordinary, unprepared, inadequate, inarticulate, unexpecting, often unwilling people like you and me to be his witnesses and to speak his word in the very place that we are. And that means, incredibly as it would seem, that the ministry of Archbishop Romero and our ministry here, the witness that Christ calls every one of us to, though they're vastly different, seemingly 180 degrees different, nevertheless, they're both expressions of the call of God to serve him and to follow Jesus Christ as the church. When we carry our ministries in this congregation and do them, do we ever consider, I know I don't stop to consider often, do we ever grasp how powerful a calling and charge this is that we share in with the whole body of Jesus Christ? That the same congregation that plans Evangelism Friendship Sundays, that takes creature comforts to our people when they have needs, that serves a comfort meal once a month, that has the Presbyterian Women's Ministry, the same congregation that plans and hopes to resurrect the live nativity this Christmas, when we go to our Christian ed classes, when we gather and worship, all of us ordinary Senatobia Presbyterian Christians doing all these ordinary everyday church things, if we understand the power in it, and if we understand what we're doing, we're part of the same church, the same body of Christ, that even sometimes brings the story of an Archbishop Romero. And even though we can't imagine that that kind of story will ever be ours, and it probably won't, never say never. Because we can't foresee what may come when God sends us and we go. And God's call comes unexpectedly and usually with no preparation time. In whatever way, though, in whatever time, in whatever words, in whatever the circumstances that we are called to serve in, we can trust this, and this is what Jeremiah hears from God. Isaiah 43, for example, as I've told you recently, one of my very favorite passages in the Scriptures. Thus says the Lord, the Holy One, who created you. I formed you. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you walk through the waters, you will not be overwhelmed. And through the rivers, I will be with you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Or in God's words in Jeremiah, do not be afraid to go to them, for I am with you to deliver you. Amen.